Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
I'm grateful for some habits I have in my life. I go in a car, and without me even thinking about it, I put my seatbelt on. Before I go to bed, I go to the bathroom, and I brush my teeth, and I'm not very conscious of these things. It's habits that really dictate the little nuances of life that make some of the things that we want to do easier. My name is Justin Kim, and this is Inverse, and we're glad you're here in our Bible study show. We have Jonathan, we got Joe, and Sebastian.
Aloha.
And today we're talking about habits and practices that if you're not intentional about, they get a little bit more difficult to implement, but habit is what God has given to us to be automatic in our life, habitual practices. We are studying the concept of worship under the rubric of Back to the Altar. So if you want to, you can go to hopetv.org/inverse and look at previous episodes, and also go to inversebible.org and look at our Bible study guide on Back to the Altar on previous weeks. We are in episode 5 entitled A Place for Me, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Jonathan, let's pray.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege we have to study your word and to get to know you better every day. Lord, we pray that as we go into the scripture, that the principles that are drawn out, the information we gather, will not just be that, but will translate into our hearts, into our lives, not just us here, but everyone watching, listening, and joining us in this study. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, not a book that we go to pretty commonly here on
really.
Inverse. Yeah, I believe we've studied the Jerusalem Council a billion times, or Revelation 14 a billion times,
Genesis 3
a billion times. But 1 Chronicles 23, I don't know if we've ever been here. 23, verse 25 through 32. And Joe, can you read that for us?
Yeah, these are instructions for rebuilding or for building the temple.
Okay.
This is David and Solomon. 1 Chronicles 23:25. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also to the Levites, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles of its service. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine flour of the grain offering, with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, and with what is mixed, and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the set feasts by number, according to the ordinances governing them, regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord."
All right, so in this quarter, we usually look at a book of the Bible. Maybe it's Leviticus or John, we did a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago. But now we're kind of in a topic. And Sebastian, I guess the question I have is, we've done now 4 episodes, and we've looked at altars as a study into altars in some passages. Mm-hmm. But if we zoom out, what's kind of a theme that is emerging from lesson to lesson?
So I think a theme that, for me, that keeps emerging, I would say, is the desire of God to meet with people, to pursue relationship, and how relationship is fundamental to worship, devotion, commitment, service, love. And I think that we're seeing that in different forms, whether that be the creation of the world, how God responded when humanity sinned, then moving forward to, you know, Cain and Abel, and then ultimately to the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's constantly wanting to have that.
I love the balance that you use to describe when people can easily say worship, right? I mean, that's one word that encapsulates everything. But too often today, doesn't worship, it gets formalized, right?
Yep.
Like we just go to
a service,
mm-hmm. a show, if mm-hmm. you will. I mean,
or we sing a song,
and then we're like, oh, I worship God, and that's my thing.
Yeah.
But it's a lot deeper than that. But mm-hmm. but at the same time, there is a place for formality. I guess let's can we parse out how do we balance? Because that's a cliche question too. But like, does worship entail external and internal, or is it all internal? I mean, there's songs like Heart of Worship that emphasizes the internal factor, mm-hmm. but then. Mm. External factors matter. No, Joe, you're look confused and you look like you have to offer something.
Well, hopefully I have something to offer, but there's not something wrong with form.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with formality, okay. which is a form without meaning.
Okay.
Mm. So the routine and the form are good, but it's when the routine and the form become hollow uh-huh. and empty of meaning. Mm-hmm.
That's all there is at the end of the day. Yeah.
That's when we run into a problem.
Yeah, there's these terms that go like high church. Have you guys heard of that high church? Yeah. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think of like high ceilings mm-hmm. and everyone standing up and singing like the English British songs and you know the king marching.
That's kind of what it is. Is it?
And like just stained glass and like you know, there's really no. We don't know why we're doing it. We're just doing it because all of England's doing it. So let's do it also.
Right.
They have low church, which is like, I just think of like just clapping and just sitting in a pew and, you know, hot, you know, Alabama somewhere. And
West got to be Alabama.
I don't know, but just kind of like, and it's just like real soul. Like, but it's in a dilapidated church and, you know, people got fans going on like, and that's low. Anyway, obviously maybe there's some stereotyping there, but There's centers in each of these stereotypes. Yeah. Can we salvage something?
I mean, I think for worship, at the end of the day, has to do with calibration of the soul, so to say. So like
calibration.
When I worship, it to me that is worship is not just an event. Mm. It's my life. Mm. Like worship means my life is directed towards God. God is the focus of my life. Mm. And I draw my energy, my life, anything I need comes from him. He's the number one source. That's the kind of like more on the meta level. Mm-hmm. But then there are, when you come to the routine, so like, for example, like a morning, or we talk about morning, evening sacrifice, morning, evening devotional time, mm-hmm. me as an individual, that's more of a focused time with God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have the corporate worship with other people. Because God believes in community, we are all family, right? We we come together and celebrate and worship God and learn and grow together. Mm-hmm. That's also a part of worship. Mm-hmm. But if you just pick one of those or make it empty, as has been mentioned, and say that's it, no, there's a deep inner meaning, but also there are external forms of it. Mm-hmm. And from what we see in Scripture, is God wants us to engage in these things mm-hmm. with. If you know the inside and the outside should ideally be symmetrical.
Yeah, it's good word.
But the interesting thing is that sometimes the inside may not be there, but because of the outside, it may trickle in. Mm-hmm. That's when you realize I need that inside experience. Mm-hmm. So if you come to church and you don't know why you're coming, you're just coming because your parents are telling you or whatever it is. But then you hear a sermon or you hear a song and this Holy Spirit touches you because of the spiritual content.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't dismiss one or the other, but I think ideally, of course, you want the inside and the outside to come together so that when you come to church, it's not just, okay, let's do this, stand up and sing and pray, but I'm fully engaged in it. I'm choosing to be engaged, even if the sermon isn't like, oh, the most inspiring. I'm choosing to be blessed by letting the Spirit talk to me.
I think that's one thing that we don't hear too much enough in our day and age. Mm. Where we've emphasized so much of the real thing, of the sincere thing, of the relevant thing. And I think that is where it's at. I mean, no doubt about it. But the form does bring you back to the reality of it when you forget it.
Yeah.
Right.
These habits.
That's true.
Like, you know, there are times where I'm legalistically brushing my teeth, man. Like, I don't want to brush my teeth. Like, I gotta go. like I said, the top of the show. Like, it's a mindless activity, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
If you guys are thinking about brushing your teeth, like actually concentrating it, there's something wrong with your experience. But like, you know, like it's just automatic. Put on the paste, like. But that mindlessness. Mm-hmm. Now, do I have to be like, okay, I really want clean teeth, and this is for the dental, you know, health of it.
You can feel the bacteria being.
This is for my, you know, like, no, you just do it, And then in a long-term picture of things, you have good teeth. Or you, I mean, you can still get cavities, but it's for your health.
Well, you know, I think the reason why what Jonathan's driving, what you're bringing up, is why I think relationship has to be grounded in it. Mm. Because everything you're saying is applicable and best illustrated in relationship. Mm. Yes. You're married. Guess what? Every day is not filled with the same feeling you had on your wedding day.
It is in my marriage. Don't ask my wife. Okay,
sure, Justin. I'm calling Rachel as soon as this show is done. Yeah. So there's days where there's tension, right?
For
there's,
sure.
You know,
for
disagreements.
Sure. Yes.
You get annoyed, they get annoyed.
Yes.
But the reality is there's the form, the external things.
Right.
That
right.
It's like you wake up and no matter how mad, you know, Candace and I can be at each other, it's like if I'm leaving, you kind of feel like, okay, we're supposed to give a kiss goodbye.
Yeah.
Like you'd feel weird not doing the form despite the tension.
Yeah.
And going back to Jonathan's point, the form brings you back.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with putting my kids to bed at night. It's like they get up like five times and you're like, why are you up? Right.
Yeah.
But then you're like, Papa, you didn't give me a hug. You're like, ah.
Yeah.
And then you're brought back like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, it's.
This is what it's about.
This is what it's about.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel we balance them. And we intuitively know it, and that's why this day and age, whether that be marriage or relationships and people's mindsets about them, and people are getting married less, again, goes back to that very point. It's like no one wants to talk about that side of marriage and relationship, which to me is intrinsically connected to worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anything important in life has a habit associated to it, a regularity to it. You see, and let's look at the verse here, verse 30, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And likewise at evening, there are these time cadences that you bring a burnt offering, your daily offering. Worship is a regular thing every morning and every evening. Anything with some value in it, it should be attached to some kind of form to it. Any other observations you guys see from?
I mean,
excuse me, from that passage.
So, Jonathan? When we talk about worship, we're talking about growing spiritually, being fed spiritually. You got to eat regularly if you want to live.
Mm.
And how much more spiritually we need to be fed, because it's really not just spiritual. It affects everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If God is the most important thing in my life, I need that regular time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he made provision for that, with the Sabbath, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants that daily connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, if I could read real quickly here, it says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." So he compares here the receiving of God's word to eating, right?
Mm.
Digesting it, taking it in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't eat regularly, we will starve.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't feast spiritually regularly, have that habit of connecting with God on a daily basis. And there are, let's be real, there are days where like I don't have time, right? So like I have more, now that I have kids, I have more than I would like to admit times where I'm like, well, my devotion is going to be in the drive to work. As I'm driving, I'll listen to, the Bible, or I'll pray.
Fast food.
But it's still, you have those days.
Yeah,
and then you have days where you can like sit down, for an hour or two or whatever.
Buffet.
Yeah. And that's okay. God understands that. And then there are days where you may miss it.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay too. What counts is that you come back to the altar, right? You can come back and spend that time, and that it becomes a habit, obviously.
Yeah. Wonderful analogy. I think just to add to it, it's that one bad meal or one good meal does not determine, your forever trajectory. It's
right.
That overall consistency.
Yeah.
So that, we as human beings, we're volatile, stuff happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get like so enthusiastic because we had one good devotional that we think we are once saved, always saved. Or we have that one bad devotion, or we missed a devotion where we think it's impossible for me to save.
Yeah. Right.
These are just, and I appreciate that happens in life, that happens in spiritual life. It's better to be consistent every single day and seeing the overall trajectory of where where your lifestyle patterns are at. That there's there's fruit in that.
Justin, you also mentioned looking at the passage again.
Where are we?
In First Chronicles 23, in verse 28. He says, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, mm-hmm. in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the other specific things, and then when. Yeah. So when you think about the comprehensive nature of this mm-hmm. duty, these Levites who are numbered 24 years and older, mm-hmm. what's interesting also about this passage to me is that these Levites are facilitating this worship relationship between the people and God, mm-hmm. and that they are supposed to be consistent, and their inconsistency would lead to a breach in this relationship. It would lead to a breach in the candlesticks going out, or the bread is not baked on the Sabbath, mm. or there's not praise and thanksgiving given to God in the morning or in mm. the evening. So they representing the people, as we looked at in the previous episode, it's not just the sanctuary, there's the priest that can go in on your behalf as the people. Mm-hmm. In a very similar sense, this facilitation by the priests and their consistency yeah. is critical for the people mm. and their relationship to God, which is to me an indictment on me as a father, right? That my consistency, many times my family can depend upon that. And it's like, well, you know, if I think I don't want to have family worship, or I don't want to maintain this spiritual habit and routine mm-hmm. in our family, God is saying, this is your duty, mm-hmm. right? It's not a decision. It's not a suggestion. It's not a preference. It's your duty. It's yeah. your responsibility. And to help Aaron,
yeah,
that's your job. And so to me, the routines also remind us of the fact that many times we don't know who's depending and what is depending on
yeah.
our being faithful in that
spiritual
routine.
We don't hear enough about duty these days. Duty is a relic of the past. And if anything, we emphasize the negative aspects of duty, like, oh, I don't want to do it, I got to do it. But when there is love, when there's loyalty, mm. when there's commitment involved, duty is just a natural response, or it should be.
Which
I would say, if you don't feel dutiful, I would an aberration in your relationship with God somewhere, mm. right? Something that needs yeah. to be a little bit tweaked up together. I want to ask, like, so we need to have these daily worship experiences. Or experience, that sounds more like transcendent than it needs to be. We need to have daily worship, ideally morning and evening. Let's do this. Do you guys do it every morning and evening? What do you do? And then two, are there times where you don't? Jonathan, you kind of mentioned there. And then why not? And then what are things that prevent people from happening? And then the last question is how do we solve that? Right? That's kind of like how we.
He's like, yeah. go.
Just
you know,
okay, Joe.
When I was young, before I even had the choice about a daily worship routine, it was already there.
Choice was made for you.
It was made for me. When I was short, yeah. I was pulled out of bed every day, yanked yeah. out at 6 a.m.
My goodness.
I remember. Oh. And so I'd be like pulling my little Afghan out there
yep.
in the living room. Here I am. I am here. Uh-huh.
Sounds like my kids right now.
But... they're actually good memories. You know, there are families that have the worship routine, but there's a lot of issues in the family, and the kids don't want to have anything to do with it when they grow up. And it was the exact opposite for me. Mm. I was in a family with home, definitely not a perfect family. But, you know, I remember as a teenager every day reading from a chapter from the book of Proverbs. Mm. And so different years, my family did different things for family worship, but mm-hmm. it was like a cornerstone. It was always there. Mm-hmm. Often my dad was leading out. A lot of times for evening worship, he was gone. My mom would lead out then. Usually in the evening, it would be more like a mission story or things like mm-hmm. that, building our faith and the relevancy of God, what he's doing today. Mm-hmm. And so I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't want to follow God. I just always had that desire. Mm-hmm. 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 Haven't always been true to it, but it was always there.
Well, I think in my family, we definitely do morning and evening. Our worship in the morning normally is we'll sing a song. We usually have a season of prayer briefly where the kids, anybody can bring a prayer request or whatever. And then we'll usually do a memory verse. We're memorizing Romans 8 right now. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do words of affirmation. So if anybody has any positive, encouraging words they want to say to someone else in the family.
And you then do that every morning and evening?
In the morning, we do this. Okay. The evening is just usually reading and reflection on what you studied in your time with Jesus.
Okay. I like that. I haven't heard of that before.
But yeah, we do the affirming words, and then we read a chapter of the Bible, and then we talk about the highlights.
How long is worship?
Our worship usually maxes 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. It can go long if there's misbehavior, you know? So you got people, bad attitudes coming with the blanket.
I'm sure you don't have that in your family.
And so evening worship is a little more laid back, and then it's kind of like, hey, we have a prayer, we sing a song, and then, hey, what did you study in your time with Jesus? And anything that stuck out that you want to share? And then we just pray together, and, you know, then it's time to go to bed. But yeah, we try to do it morning and evening just because it, for us, it brings you back to sort of like the center, what we want the center of our home to be.
Sure.
And then we also have a prayer room in our house. And so it's like you can go in there anytime.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have kind of the opposite. We're like, you know, our mornings are crazy.
Yeah.
And our evenings are relaxed. And so the morning is devoted to focus on our younger one. We use the Sabbath school lesson for the younger one, and it's just a little more simpler. And I think everyone's still groggy in the morning, so understanding something's more simpler is easier. I just try to emphasize super long. I grew up without worship. It was a very foreign concept to implement. And there are still days where I'm just like, oh man, today's a busy day. Like, I gotta squeeze this in. Like, oh.
Yep.
And that's a gift that Joe, your family forced upon you, but wonderfully there. In the evening, and it's directed to our older son, and we use more advanced study with him. And then it was just kind of like, you know, prayer requests or whatnot. Just want anything you want to talk about during the day, reflect, and then we kind of pray and close. And there's a really like, if you think about it, like the family actually never gets to be, there's no time for the family to talk about family because we're so busy.
Yep.
And so these moments allow for that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How about you, John?
Well, we're just transitioning into this whole family
worship
thing.
Ones, so,
but before, let me talk to those who are maybe listening who don't have kids or anything. Like for me, very simple. Morning worship was the big thing for me. I can't start a day without it. And for me, it was always this is before I had kids. It was like really spending quality time in the Word of God and in prayer, praying scriptures. That was something that I recently started doing a few years ago, where, you know, the passage that I'm studying, and there was a time where I went overboard with how much I would read. I was trying to read as much as possible. I'm like, no, I need to focus on, and it'll be in the verse, right? And focus on certain chewing on a little bit. But then praying through that scripture and the application that the Spirit gave me in that time made the prayer time more meaningful, in addition to, you know, the typical things I would pray for. Mm. And then I'm musical, so I like to sometimes sing or even play and sing, and just, you know, between me and God.
Yeah. How long were these? How long?
I'm not saying I'm doing this every day. You know, we only recently bought a piano.
Five hours?
No. We're talking about an hour.
It's been taken to the third heavens.
Okay,
This was pre-children. So now it's a little different, but very simple to me. And then, of course, once I got married, we added a component of praying together and so on in the evenings as a couple, or reading something together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think this is good that we share. And there's no formula. It's right. All what you need for your family. It changes at different stages of your life. I appreciate. Yeah. But there are others who don't, right? Or there's others who used to do it and they've fallen off.
Yep.
What are other... Why does that happen? How can we develop this habit? Why do other habits happen? That replace worship.
Well, I know for me, the days that I miss it, you mentioned being busy. Mm. Like our mornings are usually slower. Mm-hmm. But I'm a morning person. So I also think it depends on, you know, the parents, because Candace is not a morning person. Mm. I'm a morning person. So I'm bright eyed, bushy tailed, opening the windows. You know, I'm like, all right, guys, time
for
worship.
You're one of them.
I am. Yeah. I'm like singing to my kids while they're in the bed. How are you? They're like, Papa.
Like, leave us alone. Away.
And I'm like, come on, it's time for worship. Like, whatever. And you know, I'm being playful about it to try to soften the blow, because I know they're all going to come in with, like, you know, the droopy face and the stinky attitudes.
Yeah, that's all four of us.
So it's like really...
I'm like, I got to get up. You got to get up too, buddy.
We're going to suffer together. So I think, though, when you have external things to the family going on.
Yeah.
Sometimes kids have like stuff they got to do for choir or church, or Candace has clients or whatever. That's when stuff starts to get disrupted, is busyness.
Busyness.
And I think when we get caught up with the cares of life and the burdens of life.
And the thing is, man, like some families are busy like all the time. Like it's nonstop, especially if you have younger kids. Like that, just when this passes, it never passes. It just morphs into something else.
True.
So you need to say like, what are these rock solid things that I just want to keep in our family no matter what? And at an early age, even when it's difficult, you put it then and it's there for a very good time.
Agreed.
For sure.
Anyway, how can we get these habits in place?
Intentionality is so important, as with all these things, but really, as you said, making it a priority, saying, okay, this is, sit down with your spouse, sit down with, you know, your family. What time of the day is without
set
compromise? If we're busy, we stop everything, we sit down. God is more important to make that stuff. And that's, I'm preaching to myself right now, because we got to find that spot for us. Because like at the time, like the evening comes around, it's just what they call witching hours, right? Yeah. It's complete insanity with these kids.
But then, I would also add simplicity to that.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you make it started, make it simple.
Well, that's something that we abide by. That it's got to be short. You know, because, and when, especially at a younger age, I remember like growing up and I go to my grandma's house and the worship service like for 2 hours. And I'm just like, what is going on? And I think, and I look back now, it was all good intention, but you know, for some, it's gotta be age appropriate. It can kill a spiritual fervor.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. I've been
and giving the, especially if it's kids, giving them the opportunity to reflect, to say something or to think about it without me just trying to, let me get as much truth down your throat as possible. Yeah. Like, the little piece, did you, what do you think?
Yeah. It's like, so not just only for you, over there. Not just for you guys who are family members, but or if you have younger families, but also just singles, just set a time, just find a time and figure out what you're going to do. Yeah. That intentionality. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Joe, any practical things? How do we?
just setting the routine. And I guess when things have knocked it off, don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
You miss a day or two, you can feel really down.
Yeah.
But just get up again and set that tone again, you know.
I've been in places where I've missed weeks or more.
Yeah.
I know that God was
get
not going
to... Come back on, Jonathan.
Yes, to come back
come
on.
Back.
No,
back
but
to I'm, the altar right now.
Back to the altar. No, but it's true. But knowing that God is like compassionate and patient and this, hey, you know, he's calling.
Yeah.
Amen.
But don't get used to that, because then you may stop hearing the voice so clearly.
And we're not saved by our devotional life. We're not saved by our worship life. We are saved by the Lord Jesus alone. But we need to get back to the altar. And whether that means your laptops, your phones, your electric devices, if they get in the way, they get in the way of my life. I need to turn them off, put them to the side, put them in the box and lock and key and throw them into the ocean, whatever you got to do to get back to the altar with God. And there's no one answer to this. There is an answer to all of us in our specific contexts. And we hope that you can find out what God wants to do in your devotional life as well. Hopefully it's been a blessing. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.